Defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. Our latest issue of the Christian Research Journal is a treasure trove of valuable information, including feature articles on the postmodern pagan myth of Avatar and the use of neuroscience to explain faith and morality. To start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal, order online at equip.org, or you can call us at 888-7000-CRI. Today, Hank is joined by Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. And now, here is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I am going to enjoy this broadcast as always because my good friend and colleague Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, joins me for the discussion on the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. The cover feature story, Avatar, a Postmodern Pagan Myth, but so much more in CRI's award-winning magazine. It's a must-have tool in your apologetics arsenal. It's on the cutting edge in the battle for what is true and right by probing today's religious movements, promoting critical thinking, and providing reasons for Christian faith and ethics. The magazine features in-depth feature articles, book reviews, evangelism tips, thought-provoking opinion pieces, powerful contemporary graphics, and catch this, a one-year subscription costs less than 1 month's cable bill or dinner out for your family, at least if your family's as large as mine. A one-year subscription less than $40, a two-year subscription $72. You can order online in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. Via the mail when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI, Elliot Miller, good to have you in studio.
It's very good to be with you, Hank. Thank you so much for having me.
It's always great to have you on the broadcast. And we were talking yesterday about Avatar, and I want to talk about the rest of this journal. But before we do that, I was speaking with Brian Gadawa, the author of Avatar, and we discussed the fact that Avatar suffers the white savior racist myth. In other words, the need for the white man to save a less developed race that lacks the intelligence and fortitude to overcome adversaries by themselves. So it is accidentally politically incorrect. We also talked about the exaltation of the noble savage myth, which is an idealized concept of uncivilized man who symbolizes the innate goodness of a person who's not been exposed to the corrupting influences of Western civilization. But I want to ask you a question about something else in Avatar that's just assumed, and that is natural selection or the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life. So you have the Darwinistic philosophy embedded in the movie, and unless you understand cultural apologetics or discernment skills, that might simply just wash right over you without realizing that you are being indoctrinated in a worldview that is anything but Christian.
Oh, Hank, you really are hitting something on the head that really needs to be discussed just generally for Christians, because not only in Avatar, but in just so many different programs, what immediately comes to mind is the TV show Heroes, where, you know, these people have these superpowers, and it's because they're apparently, you know, representing some new phase in evolution. And so you get this sort of faceless voice who actually belongs to one of the characters narrating and opening up the show, and he often refers to evolution and really sort of savage concepts of survival of the fittest, as if this is somehow, number one, a given, and number two, good. You know, and these kinds of assumptions are used in fiction, are used in drama, storytelling, and they are a part of postmodern 21st century mythology. you know, it's incorporated so many times. And as worldview thinkers, which is what Christians need to be, we should not just hear that kind of thing and not think critically about it. It's not that we should not go to these movies and have our Christian belief system get upset and disturbed by hearing another view, but rather we should be well-grounded in not only what we believe, but why we believe it, and able to identify presuppositions and assumptions that people incorporate into their storytelling and their statements that presume something that has not truly been proven and that is foundational to a false worldview. And, of course, evolution is about as foundational to false worldviews as you can get, because it's a theory of origins. And it's a theory of origins that has not been supported scientifically, and it contradicts the Bible. But people often conflate macroevolution, which is a theory of origins, with microevolution, which is an observable adaptation, you know, of a species to changes in its environment for survival purposes. They think that the fact that there's evidence for microevolution proves macroevolution, when these are two different categories of evolution, and one does not prove the other. So that's the issue. We need to be able to see these movies, read these books, be conversant with what people are filling their minds with, because this is where people are getting their ideas, Hank. They're not getting them largely from school. A lot of people aren't pursuing these kinds of topics in school. They're learning about how to, you know, work software and have that kind of a vocation. They're not pursuing philosophy, religion, and all these issues. But they're getting it from popular media. And if we want to be able to talk meaningfully with people about the gospel, we need to know what's influencing them. But first, we need to not be influenced by it ourselves, and then rather to be able to spot the errors and to critique it. And that's what the Christian Research Journal is all about, equipping Christians to do. We do that on a regular basis with all of our articles. It's all about discernment.
A great segue into another article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal titled Culturally Corrosive Comedy, The Daily Show and the Colbert Report by Ted Baer and Tom Snyder. Ted Baer has been a friend of mine for 30 years. He does movie reviews and just an incredible author who's on the inside of Hollywood, knows what's going on. But he's written this article demonstrating that we have today the incredible situation of having The Daily Show and The Colbert Report, which is really entertainment, being viewed by many as a trusted news source.
Yes, Jon Stewart was named in some informal polls on the internet by people of a younger age, I think it's 25 years and under, you know, by many people as the most trusted authority on the news that they encounter in TV, which, you know, it's a very sad commentary because, you know, there are some good news programs on TV. For example, the PBS NewsHour, I find that to be very objective. They try to represent all points of view on a given subject. You know, and there are some good news programs, but you really do, in cable news, get a lot of biased reporting. And you get it like drilled into you that if you take a conservative or biblical position on various social issues, that you're an ignoramus, that you're biased, that you are repressive of progress and of people groups, and you know, just an idiot. And so this article is nice because it's just basically pointing all this out. It's pointing out the incredible bias and saying, okay, but, you know, yes, we need to be able to spoof political positions, but it's interesting how there's just such a consistent bias against traditional views of God, morality, and so forth.
What I love about the article is you learn in the process of reading it discernment skills, and as Christians, that is what we need, the ability to be able to discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. Talking to Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal, about the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. It is an award-winning magazine no Christian should be without. It's available on the World Wide Web. You can subscribe online at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or, as always, you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. As always, we want to take some calls when we have Elliot Miller on the broadcast. Jessica, she's listening on Bot Radio in Turlock, California. Hi, Jessica.
Hey there. How are you?
I'm doing good. You're on with Elliot Miller.
Okay, first of all, let me preface my statement with the fact that my information that I'm giving you is from PluggedInOnline.com, which is with Focus on the Family. They, you know, critique movies and tell you all the content. And I, because I don't know firsthand the content of the movie, I've seen it on what's called ClearPlay. But it says that it uses God's name in vain over 10 times, you know, profaning the Lord's name in vain. Anyhow, and a few other cuss words. And I want to know is how does knowing the content or that there can be this type of content influence our decision in seeing it in the movie theaters as opposed to waiting until it comes out on DVD when you can clean it up on ClearPlay or, you know, that kind of a system?
Well, Jessica, I think that's a very good question. And, you know, I can relate to that on a personal level right now because there's a show that I like. I think it's not immoral, essentially. I mean, it has elements of immorality in it, but it's not about immorality. It's about a lot of good character qualities. And I'll even name it because I wrote a letter to the editor, and I told them that this was offending me, and they have not changed it. And I told them I was going to write an editorial about it if they didn't. Well, it's just good to mention it on the radio, so I will mention the name of the program. It's called In Plain Sight. And, you know, you have this perfectly nice lead character, but she takes the name of Jesus Christ in vain on a regular basis, you know, and it's just really offensive to me. So we're reaching the point, we're on the verge of just, we're not going to watch this program anymore, even though it's basically a good program, has constructive plot development, and it's not offensive on other levels, but this particular aspect of it, It gets over a line. We live in this world. We don't expect there to be no cursing, swearing, foul language. You know, we have to go out of the world to not hear that kind of language, and Jesus tells us not to do that. But it's another thing when we are just subjected to it. And so I do think it's definitely in the area of Romans 14, and you have to determine how something is affecting your spiritual life and your children's, and make a case-by-case judgment whether it is something that you're going to watch as is, whether you're going to put it through the filter that you're talking about, or whether you're not going to watch it at all. But these are real issues that we as Christians have to deal with.
Most definitely. And the biggest issue is knowing that oftentimes we don't know this is going to be an issue until after the fact. We're like, oh, goodness, I just said that word, or whatever it is, or an image pops in your head, and you don't know it until after the fact that is already burned into your conscience, burned into your mind. And so knowing that there is something out there that you can use at home where it doesn't even allow that to enter your home is an amazing thing.
I think if you're having that particular problem and you're being affected that way or your children are, I really think that taking advantage of that at your home is the thing to do. I personally don't react to things exactly the way you just described. Everybody's different in how they respond to these things. But if that's definitely affecting your spiritual life and there's a resource you can use that would help you with that, you should use it.
Thank you very much, Jessica. And, of course, we're talking with Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, about not only Avatar, a postmodern pagan myth, which is the feature cover story of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, but about the Christian Research Journal in general and why you should subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, which is a subscription magazine. It's our flagship magazine. You can subscribe online on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. We need always to be aware of the fact that if you put on the full armor of God, you are invincible in spiritual warfare. And oftentimes as believers, we think about the power of Satan to pillage as being maximum. And that is not true. The power of God to protect is the emphasis that Paul begins with. So if we put on the full armor of God, we do not have to fear the pagan world. The pagan world can be influenced by us. So we shouldn't withdraw from the pagan world to such an extent that we cannot be salt and light. Because Jesus said, if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. We're the light of the world. We do need to be in today's Areopagus, making a difference, using deviations as opportunities for sharing the truth and love and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. And one of the primary principal resources by which you can equip yourself to do that is the Christian Research Journal. That's why I urge you to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today. Don't put it off. Don't delay. Every issue better than the last. You can subscribe on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And again, you can write me to subscribe. Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by at 888-7000 CRI. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with the editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, my friend Elliot Miller. Stay tuned.
If you'd like to know more about atheists and their quest for objective morality and other topics discussed in today's broadcast, we invite you to start or renew your subscription to the Christian Research Journal. Right now is the perfect time to order because we've just released our latest edition. You can order online securely at equip.org or by calling us at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Don't go away. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews such as the one portrayed in Avatar are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more. Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal to strengthen and enhance your relationship with God. To start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal, order online at equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. Or you can call us at 888-7000-CRI. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And of course, today talking about CRI's award-winning magazine, a must-have tool in your apologetics arsenal. It's on the cutting edge in the battle of what is true and right, because it probes today's religious movements, promotes critical thinking, and provides reasons for Christian faith and ethics. The contents include cultural apologetics, and that's the article that we did on Avatar. Scientific apologetics, philosophical apologetics, cultural discernment, critical thinking. Also, practical hermeneutics. What is that? That's the art and science of biblical interpretation. We say God has spoken. The attendant question is, what has God said? Practical hermeneutics is a section of the journal teaching you how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And then we have our book reviews. And I want to pause on that for just a moment, Elliot, because one of the book reviews involves a book on the Book of Mormon, which is defended by a U.S. senator. And I'm always amazed that the Book of Mormon can be defended in an age of scientific enlightenment where archaeology and anthropology has demonstrated beyond the peradventure of a doubt that the Book of Mormon is hopelessly flawed.
Yes, and the word hopeless is definitely the operative word here for a Mormon who tries to enter into apologetics on this, because the evidence is just stacking up against the Book of Mormon. Never had good evidence to begin with. It was always problematic. But it's ventured out to make specific historical claims, and those claims are testable. And so they have been tested and are being found wanting, for example, through genetic studies that disprove the idea that any Native Americans come from Hebrew descent. And with this evidence stacking up, then they have to retreat always to the burning in the bosom, the subjective proof that Mormonism is true, because after all, if you ask God, if you pray about it, God will confirm it to you, and you'll have an experience, and you'll know that it's true. Well, those are contradictory approaches to truth. One is objective, and the other is subjective. And their problem is, ultimately, their belief is based on a subjective proof, but they try to venture into the realm of the objective and make claims to add credibility to their position. And at that point, then, they get into that hopeless, desperate situation that we're talking about, which is self-contradictory and refutes them. Of course, a subjective basis for proof is not valid anyway if it contradicts Scripture, because the fact that you have an experience only proves that you have an experience. You still have to objectively verify whether the experience is what you thought it was or whether it's something else, maybe too many burritos the night before.
Talking to Elliot Miller, he's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, and we're hoping to cause you to salivate over the Christian Research Journal, because involvement produces commitment. We want you to be equipped to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. Not only thought-provoking opinion pieces, but a powerful contemporary graphic format in an eye-catching full-color magazine. A one-year subscription costs less than 1 month cable bill or dinner out for your family. 1 year, less than $40. 2 years, $72. You can subscribe on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, let's go to the phone lines. take a call from Kansas City, Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Sherry.
Hey, how are you, Hank and Mr. Miller?
Hi.
Hi, Sherry.
My question is, I recently hooked up with a friend that I hadn't seen in about 40 years, and she used to be with the Jehovah's Witness, and now she has gone to Latter-day Saints. And I just happened to be there one night when they came to her house for a meeting, and they really are pushing me to be baptized in their church, and I know that that's a decision I'm going to make regardless of what. But I get more and more questions of, you know, is this a religion or a cult? I really have mixed feelings about it.
So your friend who was a Jehovah's Witness is now converting to the Mormon faith, and she's pressing you to be baptized in the Mormon faith as well, right?
Oh, she's not pushing me. The elders that come to the house to talk to her, and I sat in on it because, like I said, I've been really searching myself. I was baptized when I was 8. I went to church with my grandmother, who was Pentecostal. And I've just been looking for what's right for me and trying to figure out what is right. And, you know, they just kind of, boy, jumped in with all feet. I mean, you know, it started out with a couple of people coming once a week, and now they're, like, coming twice a week, and bishops are coming. And I'm like, holy moly, man, what's going on here?
Right. Well, you called the right place, I would say. Wouldn't you say so, Hank?
Absolutely, because one of the things that we want you to know is that Mormonism does not correspond to truth. And that's ultimately what this ministry is all about. We say we do what we do because truth matters. And therefore, we want people like you, Sherry, to be so familiar with essential Christian doctrine that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. And this is precisely what Mormonism is. It's a counterfeit of Christianity, and it compromises or contradicts essential Christian doctrine, beginning with the person and work of Jesus Christ. Because in Mormonism, Jesus Christ is our elder brother, in fact, the spirit brother of Lucifer. So God and Mother God have spirit children, and those spirit children are looking for bodies. Those spirit children are saved in a completely different way than in a biblical worldview. And the fact of the matter is, the worldview communicated by Mormonism is not a worldview that corresponds to reality. We can say in the Christian worldview that Jesus Christ is not the spirit brother of Lucifer, but rather the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence on the basis of the Holy Bible, because we can demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, whereas on the other hand, we can demonstrate that the Book of Mormon is human rather than divine in origin. And again, as we mentioned, both archaeology and anthropology demonstrate conclusively that the people and places chronicled in the Book of Mormon are little more than the product of a fertile imagination. And yet Joseph Smith and the Mormon Church claim that the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth, and it is the keystone to their religion. In the Book of Mormon, you have a completely different concept of what it means to be saved. And in Mormonism in particular, you have completely different idea of what heaven is, because they have three different kinds of heavens. They have a telestial heaven and a terrestrial heaven and a celestial heaven. And if you get to the third level of the celestial heaven, you can become a god. But that's not the Christian notion at all. In the Christian notion, we are resurrected to a new heaven and a new earth where indwells righteousness. So paradise lost becomes paradise restored. We'll always be human beings, but we will be human beings in resurrected bodies with a resurrected Lord, and we will learn and grow and develop without error as forever we explore the glory and grandeur of God who created the universe and a God we can never become. In Mormonism, God was like we are. and we are going to become like God is if we follow the plan. This is completely contrary, again, to the Christian worldview. The Bible teaches us simply this. We are sinners. We're born and conceived in sin. If we repent of our sin and we turn and follow Jesus Christ, He will become our Lord and Savior and give our life the meaning, purpose, and fulfillment that our lives are designed to have. And we cannot earn a relationship with God. We can only receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ, a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The simple distinction between Mormonism and Christianity is Mormonism is about what you can do. Christianity is about what Jesus Christ has done, the finished work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. We can simply reach out the hand of a beggar to receive the gift of a king. So again, I would be very, very cautious because your friend has jumped from one cult into another cult, and now you are being exposed to something, and you are not familiar with the genuine article, and therefore the counterfeit can look very good when in reality it is very bad.
My instincts were kind of leading me that direction anyway.
Right.
I try and follow my heart. You know, I feel like I said when
You need to follow both your heart and your head because God gave us both to alert us to dangers. And, you know, there's just a couple of points that immediately should cause red flags to go off with the Mormons. Number one, they really don't believe in the God of the Bible. They believe in many gods, which is anathema to the Bible teaching. In the Bible, Yahweh is one, there is no other. You know, there's only one God. It's amazing how Jehovah's Witness could go into there because that's what they harp on, that there's only one God. You know, so that's number one, is that it's not even a Christian view of God. Number two, it's a different gospel, and they will tell you that the angel Moroni appeared to Joseph Smith and gave him, you know, the Book of Mormon. But we have a direct warning about this from the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1, starting with verse 6. He says, I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we or an angel of heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say again I now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you have received, let him be accursed. Well, that's, you know, it's fair warning. There would be people coming along saying, this is the gospel, it's the restored gospel. Even angels, you know, do not satisfy the proof. Paul says, even if we came along and were preaching something different tomorrow, don't believe it. You judge all things by the gospel. You never accept some new gospel. And that's what the cults do by definition. They preach a different Jesus, a different gospel, a different spirit. So I think that you need to be in touch with some Christians there in Kansas City who can give you some actual direct feedback to counteract the influence of these Mormons that are visiting you.
Sherry, hang on. We can get you connected, and we will be right back in just a few moments with more of Elliot Miller as we talk about the Christian Research Journal. But Sherry's call in and of itself shows the need for a magazine like the Christian Research Journal, which will help you in terms of critical thinking. We want to be so familiar with the truth that when counterfeits or cults loom on the horizon, we know it instantaneously. Again, the Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine that no Christian family should be without. You can order online in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, you can speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And don't forget, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. I need your support prayerfully and financially to continue on in ministry. Please stand with us. We'll be right back.
Can brain research explain the origin of morality and religion? According to both religion detractor Richard Dawkins and religion advocates Andrew Newberg and Mark Waldman, it can. But whether these scientists are against us or for us, their conclusions are flawed. In the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, you'll find insightful articles such as this in-depth look into neuroscience and its ability to show the origin of faith and morality. And you'll also find our regular features that you've come to enjoy. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews such as the one portrayed in Avatar are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more. Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
We live in arguably the greatest civilization in the history of the world, and yet we could be looking at its very demise. Four horsemen of this modern-day apocalypse bring plagues that could mean the fall of this civilization. Hank Hanegraaff describes how each of these horsemen could bring down the very society in which we live, and how we as Christians must live in the midst of this 21st century apocalypse in his special message titled, The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse. To equip yourself to live as a change agent for Christ in the culture rather than conforming to it, order your copy of Hank's latest message now on DVD or CD when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankrenim series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenim Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. Feature cover story in the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal, written by filmmaker Brian Gadawa, titled Avatar, a Postmodern Pagan Myth, details the pagan notion of nature worship in opposition to the Judeo-Christian notion of man's dominion over nature. This idea at the heart of the film Avatar fuels a battle of gods over the future of the planet. This and many other relevant and timely articles can be found in the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal. Available online at equip.org or when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-274. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, we're talking about CRI's award-winning magazine, the Christian Research Journal. It's a must-have tool in your apologetics arsenal, and it's on the cutting edge in the battle for what is true and right. And we stand for truth no matter what the cost. In fact, in an upcoming edition of the Christian Research Journal, I'm going to be talking about the whole issue of discernment. How can we discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light? Because without the ability to discern, we stand impotent in an age of information overload. Remember back to 1999. formidable intellects across the Christian landscape were busily propagating reckless rumors, spurious statistics, and anecdotal arguments respecting a bug that portended the demise of Western civilization. And not knowing how to discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light, followers were resigned to stocking up on freeze-dried food and generators. What was really in short supply was the ability to discern. Well, today we face another situation requiring the ability to discern. In January, we published a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring the culmination of a 6-year primary research project respecting a movement originally founded by a Chinese Christian named Watchman Nee. Well, shortly after the publication of our article, some Christian apologists issued a response expressing surprise at our conclusions. Well, for concerned Christians everywhere, this poses a significant dilemma. Are the primary research findings of the Christian Research Journal correct? My purpose in the article in the upcoming edition of the Christian Research Journal is not merely to sort out that matter, but to use an acronym, DISCERN, D-I-S-C-E-R-N, as a memorable tool through which you, as a believer, can separate wheat from chaff, not only with respect to this issue, but throughout the remainder of your Christian walk. And Elliot Miller, that's one of the things that we're attempting to do at the Christian Research Institute, is to give Christians the tools so that they can discern for themselves.
You just summed it up, Hank. That is very much what we attempt to do. Many of our articles illustrate these points, but yours is going to be the classic. It's an article entitled DISCERN, D-I-S-C-E-R-N, each letter standing for an element in what is required to discern. And so it's about as practical a teaching on this subject as anyone will ever receive, with plenty of great application to current controversial issues that people are trying to sort through. But we do that throughout the Christian Research Journal. For example, we have our practical hermeneutics column, which teaches principles of biblical interpretation so that we know how to properly exegete Scripture and not arrive at false or even cultic interpretations from it. And this current issue that we've been discussing deals with metaphor, you know, and how to understand Scripture, to interpret anthropomorphic language. You know, a lot of, we were just discussing the Mormonism on the other side of the break. They believe that God is an exalted man. They justify this by pointing to Scriptures where God, it speaks about God's nostrils, you know, his breath, the span of his hand, and so forth. And they say, there you go, there's proof, God is a man. Well, what they're missing is the whole concept of anthropomorphic language, of using human-like terms to convey truths about God, who is essentially non-physical, but corresponds to us in many ways because we're created in his image. So physical imagery is used to describe his actions so that we can relate to it better because we are physical beings. And Ron Rhodes, you know, does an excellent job of explaining these principles. So that's just one aspect of it, but we deal with discernment issues all the time in the Christian Research Journal.
Again, we're talking to Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe today. You can do so online in a safe, secure fashion at www.equip.org. When you write me, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Another issue that requires discernment skills, a story in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, is by Dan Story, titled Our Animus Model Environmentalists. And of course, many people today are confused about environmentalism. How should I think about this? Many environmentalists have claimed that tribal societies are more ecologically sensitive than cultures that embrace Christianity, and they have attributed this to the tribe's animistic religious traditions? Well, Elliot, we have to be able to sort that out, because this is a way of undermining a Christian worldview on the basis of the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie.
You're absolutely right, Hank. It's both an attack on Christianity itself, because what they're essentially saying is that Christianity is a religion that is not serving us well in the 21st century when we are experiencing increasing environmental crises. And so we need to get back to a more simple religion that treads lightly on the earth, such as existed in America before the white man came here, or on other parts of the globe as well, in these animistic, preliterate, primitive cultures. And this is a belief that is widespread, and thus you have the rise of shamanism and neo-paganism and Gaia, earth worship, and all of these different, people reviving these kinds of beliefs. And it's very much related to what we were discussing yesterday with Brian Godawa regarding the movie Avatar. In fact, this sort of is our environmental issue of the Christian Research Journal, because these two articles complement one another very much. And then I've thrown in an editorial dealing with other aspects of the problem as well. So you have a rather complete treatment of, you know, Christianity versus these pagan religions in terms of which is more eco-friendly, you know. And Dan Story has produced here first-rate primary research that you just won't find in any textbook. I mean, you can go in your anthropology class, cultural anthropology, in your local community college or even four-year university, and take a whole semester's worth, and you probably will not get this information. You'll probably walk away from those schools thinking, wow, it's too bad that our culture, rejected all of these beliefs. We wouldn't be in the mess we are now. Well, Dan's story brings out the facts, as far as what they actually did believe, and sets the record straight. And it's very eye-opening, and it's important information that will certainly be useful in a conversation with people the next time Christianity's supposedly adverse effects on the environment comes up.
Another incredible article by Chad Meister, Atheists and the Quest for Objective Morality. And of course, that begs this question, Elliot. Can atheism provide a justification for morality? Many atheists say that atheism can do just that.
Right. And actually, however, this is really, as far as I'm concerned, this is the most obvious weak link in atheism, is that, their greatest strength supposedly is that they say we are supported by science, scientific naturalism, that you just can't have miracles, that everything needs to be confirmed by science. But of course, that is a circular reasoning, because they're assuming the philosophy of naturalism in trying to get false validation from science. Science doesn't validate the philosophy of naturalism. Science simply describes how nature operates. It doesn't tell us what may or may not lie beyond nature. So when it comes to that, then we got to see whether our worldview or our belief system is something we can practice 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In other words, if you can live consistently by a worldview, then it might be true. But if you can't, then it has really failed the most substantial test you can subject it to. It's not logically coherent with reality. So atheists really have a weak link in this very area, because they can't find a basis for ethics or morality, and it's not as though they haven't been trying. And Chad Meister looks at three different atheists and their efforts to try and find a basis for morality. He looks at Richard Dawkins and the Selfish Gene, which I just want to throw in a plug. We also have an excellent summary critique of Richard Dawkins's The Greatest Show on Earth about evolution by Jonathan Wells, a biologist and intelligent design thinker from UC Berkeley, that is just a phenomenal review. He writes the whole review as though you're in a circus, and it's amazing. I just had to throw a plug in for that. But anyway, back to what Chad Meister deals with. He deals with Richard Dawkins' position that morality is based on the selfish gene. He deals with Michael Ruse and Edward Wilson's position that morality is an evolutionary illusion. and he deals with Walter Sinnott Armstrong's position that objective morality just simply is, and we don't need to explain it. And he shows how all three of these attempts by atheists to come up with a basis for morality, which is something that they can't escape from. We all have to, we, as part of human nature, morality is something we live with. It's a part of what we are. But they can't find a ground for it in an atheistic universe. And these are the three of the best efforts to do so. And Meister shows that they all fail miserably. So that puts atheism to a test that it fails. The best test you can give it, the test of logical coherency.
We have just scratched the surface with respect to the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, always great to have you on the broadcast.
Always great to be here, Hank.
And, of course, I want to emphasize something as we close the broadcast today. We're not about cursing darkness. We're about building a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. We want you to be so familiar with truth that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. That's why this is a ministry that deserves your financial and prayer support. We're making a difference all over the globe, but it is because we have a team within the Christian Research Institute and a team without. You are that team. Without you, we simply cannot be effective in making a difference for time and for eternity. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. We ask you to be that person, to make a difference while there is yet time. Stand with the ministry of the Christian Research Institute as it bears abundant, abiding fruit. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And as always, when you speak with our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI, and make certain that you subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. It's a gift that keeps on giving. If you're subscribing presently, think about someone that you can bless with a gift subscription to the Christian Research Journal. It's less than a cable bill or dinner out for the family, a one-year subscription less than $40. You can subscribe today. The best way to do it in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
The Christian Research Journal provides well-researched, biblically grounded articles and illuminating illustrations from award-winning authors and artists in each edition. This is just one more reason to call CRI and start your subscription. Just call 888-7000-CRI and tell the resource consultant you'd like to receive or give the Christian Research Journal. Or order online at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. Do you use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible?
GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org. or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI.